ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 27, and today's is text 16. Evam pratya brahmrishya syav atmanam pratipadyate sahankarsasya dravyasya Yo vasthanam anugraha evam pratyavam rishyasyav evam pratyavam rishyasyav atmanam pratipadyate atmanam pratipadyate Sahankarasya dravyasya Sahankarasya dravyasya Yo vasthanam anugraha Yo vasthanam anugraha Evam pratyavam rishyasav Atmanam pratipadyate Sahankarasya dravasya Yo vasthanam anugraha okay. Evam tas pratyavamrishya After understanding Ashau that person Atmanam His self, pratipadyate, realizes. Sahankarasya, accepted under false ego. Dravyasya, of the situation. Ya, who, avasthanam, resting place. Anugraha, The Manifester. Translation proposed by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When, by nature, a mature understanding, one can realize his individuality, then the situation he accepts under false ego becomes manifest to him. Repeat, when, by mature understanding, one can realize his individuality, Then the situation he accepts, under false ego, becomes manifest to him. Purport: The Mayavada philosopher's position is that at the ultimate issue, the individual is lost. Everything becomes one, and there is no distinction between the knower, the knowable, and the knowledge. But by minute analysis, we can see that this is not the correct. Individuality is never lost. Even when one thinks that the three different principles, namely the knower, the knowable, and knowledge, are amalgamated or merged into one, the very concept that the three merge into one is another form of knowledge. And since this perceiver of the knowledge still exists, How can one say that knower, knowledge and knowable have become one? The individual soul who is perceiving this knowledge still remains an individual, both in material existence and in spiritual existence. The individuality continues. The only difference is in the quality of the identity. In the material identity, The false ego acts, and because of a false identification, one takes things to be different from what they actually are. That is the basic principle of conditional life. Similarly, when the false ego is purified, one takes everything in the right perspective. That is the state of liberation. It is stated in the Ishvapanishad that everything belongs to the Lord. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Everything exists on the energy of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Because everything is produced of His energy and exists on His energy, the energy is not different from Him. But still the Lord declares, I am not there. When one clearly understands one's constitutional position, everything becomes manifest. False egoistic acceptance of things conditions one, whereas acceptance of things as they are makes one liberated. The example given in the previous verse is applicable here. Due to absorption of one's identity in his money, when the money is lost, he thinks that he is also lost. But actually, he is not identical with the money, nor does the money belong to him. When the actual position is revealed, we understand that the money does not belong to any individual person or living entity, nor is it produced by man. Ultimately, the money is the property of the Supreme Lord, and there is no question of its being lost. But as long as one falsely thinks, I am the enjoyer, or I am the Lord, this concept of life continues, and one remains conditioned. As soon as this false ego is eliminated, one is liberated. As confirmed in the Bhagavatam, situation in one's real constitutional position is called mukti, or liberation. When by mature understanding one can realize his individuality, then the situation he accepts under false ego becomes manifest to him. So this is also an important verse and explains our situation as conditioned souls in this material world. We are being conditioned in this material world for lifetimes. And there are two types. One is living entities that are conditioned, and the other one is liberated. These two types of persons. One is liberated, the other one is bewildered in this material world, conditioned in this material world forever. That's called Nitya Siddha and Nitya Baddha. Nitya Siddha is the person that are liberated always, eternally, that they, even though they are in this world, they are liberated. They are not affected by the influence of the material world. They are always eternal. This is the right verse, right? No? It's not the right verse? Translation is same. The purport is different. Really? Yeah, the 16. That's what's written here. So, what do we do now? It's not my fault. Whoever written that, I just. So we speak on this or. Okay. Huh? I just speak on this because that's what. Then we have to go through it again, the next verse. So there are process for practicing spiritual knowledge. So spiritual knowledge and material knowledge are two different aspects. Usually the conditioned soul is the material world. They are conditioned by the three modes of material nature, and then it's hard for us to understand the spiritual knowledge because we need to understand these things through the guru and sadhu, that they can explain to us the spiritual knowledge. So we are conditioned in the material world. The conditioned souls are covered by maya shakti, and the one of the energies of the material energies that we are acting on ego, false ego. Egoistic platform. So that is the platform of material consciousness. So being not Krishna conscious automatically puts one on egoistic platform. If you're Krishna conscious, obviously we know that we are not under material level, we are spiritual level, we act spiritually. So those who are materially engrossed in the material world, we don't have the spiritual backing. And so, eternally, one is conditioned. We say eternally because unless and until we make an effort, we are bound here. So once we take any step, or even a little bit of interest, like Krishna says, an interest to understand spiritual life, and then that is beginning of liberation, actually. Liberation means it's not like you are you're not touching the ground anymore, you're flying in the air. It's not just liberation. You can be in the material conditioning, but when you talk about material conditioning, it means being in the spiritual platform, in the material body. You can be anywhere in the world. What makes a place spiritual is when one is Krishna conscious. Wherever he is, that's spiritual world. It's like a pure devotee of Krishna. He can be anywhere in the world. That place is transformed into spiritual world. Of course, the definition of the spiritual world is there, but it all starts with the consciousness. If our consciousness is materially affected, then even we can be in this ritual atmosphere, but we are not, even not there. We are not accepting it. Our mind is not here. So, egoistic platform is when we can actually understand our position as servant of Krishna. That is liberated state. But actually, anyone who even take the first step in Krishna consciousness to understand the our relationship with Krishna and spiritual interest, that is the beginning of liberated stage. But like I said, it's not like when people have different understanding what liberation is. Liberation from mukti means from suffering. You don't suffer anymore. But when you chant Hare Krishna, we're still suffering. We're still affected by birth, death, old age, disease, and we are suffering amongst ourselves when we say, oh, I have pain. Material suffering. And then we go to the doctor and we are saying something about other people. Oh, he is, you know. So we are affected by material suffering. It's not that when we chant Hare Krishna, all of a sudden we are free from all the suffering. You see, Srila Prabhupada himself, he is pure devotee, but then he was to go for a morning walk I had hours of massage every day by servants. But the thing is, at pure devotees, they are not acting on suffering level. They are thinking always of Krishna. We are suffering immediately. We need a break. We observe so much in the suffering level and that we are not thinking of Krishna. We consulting doctor, going to the hospital, and we take time off, and so many things. A pure devotee, despite suffering, they are serving Krishna. That's the difference. So Nitya Siddha means they are here in this world, but they are not affected by. They are affected, but they are so Krishna conscious that they keep themselves observed in Krishna. So they are above it. So that's the level. That's what liberation means, really. When you talk about liberation, it doesn't mean it's material liberation. Material liberation means you no longer suffer, but you have a heavenly body, like in the heaven, in heaven, you know, where they have less suffering. In heaven, there is birth, death, old age, disease, but you don't get old age till when you are just before you die. You get old. The ladies, they can have unlimited enjoyment, but they don't get pregnant. Big pregnancy is a sort of suffering, because you have to carry a baby for 9 months and go through the sicknesses and things. But in the heaven planet, they drink, you know, like a samaras. You know, here we drink the you get headache, hangover, so many things. In the heavenly planet, they don't suffer. But there is no warning, according to... There is no warning when you're going to die. Well, you might be in the middle of drinking and then it's time's up, you have to die. And your glass in your hand and you're falling down into your world. That's what is mentioned. So we're actually lucky because here we see people are suffering and then it reminds us of this place is miserable. Let me get out of here. That's why this is arranged. This place is very nice because here we can see, you walk down in the Swanson Street, you see people suffering. Here we're not seeing anyone suffering. This is a spiritual place. This is a liberated place. But when you go out, you see people suffering, really. That's what Buddha, you know, Buddha, he was a king, a prince, and his father kept him inside the wall because he knew that outside there was suffering. He didn't want him to see that. He kept him inside and so he can be as a king. But he always wanted to go out. He's God and he's preacher. He need to go out and preach. And he didn't be stuck inside the home and in the family life and all that. And he wanted to go out and he went out in the middle of the night on a horse. And he saw this birth, death, all these people suffering. And just like here, we go out, see people begging and homeless and people really suffering. Every time, you know, I have money and I'm thinking, oh, even $1 is so valuable. You know, they're struggling to get a little bit of money. So I'm thinking I'm going to buy a drink, a juice or water. I said, no, I'm keeping it. I don't want to spend money for myself. I saw the suffering. Immediately, I woken up. I'm going to Crossways, have some prasadam instead, or a glass of water from there. So I always try to see, this is why a situation created for us to remember what is the reality. We need to wake up all the time. The difference between a devotee and a non-devotee is that we need to always wake up to through the knowledge. Like he says, knowledge, knowable. And the knowledge, what is knowledge? Is when we can see things as they are. You don't want to be part of this suffering world. That's why Krishna came here, to wake us up to this reality. Ego is when we think, I'm the enjoyer. That's what else mentioned here. We're not the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. As when we think, I am the enjoyer, that itself makes us the center of everything.
I am the kirtan leader. I play the medanga best. I cook the best. And I am the best pujari. You know, I am this, I am that. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He told him, like you see, nowadays you have the Google, and you can, you want to go somewhere, you can punch on that, suppose Los Angeles, and you go to the world map, and then it will show the country, and then the whole world, and then India and Australia and all places, and then you go to USA, and then there's so many cities there. And before that is the universe, the whole universe and these planets. And then they didn't have that in the Google, the universe. It's just the world. Because they have the knowledge about the spiritual world. That you have to go to the Bhagavatam. But Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the universe. And then in Los Angeles, a small city, big city, but and then inside the city, and there's one Watseka Avenue. That is the street. That's like Bank Street outside. And there's one Hare Krishna temple there. And inside the temple, and there's so many devotees. And there's one temple president. His name is Tamal Krishna. Prabhupada tells this. And then he thinks, I'm the center of this temple. He was saying, Prabhupada was giving example, you see this vast universe, so big, and here we are, one tiny person thinks I am this. What does it make a difference? When the demigods looks at us from up there, they see us like a small ant walking around. When we look at the ants thinks of us as like a huge a mountain in front of them. So we need to always see through the spiritual vision, what is our position as a minute person? We are very small, tiny people. Yet, the ego makes us think that we are so and such and such, so individual. The ego is the quality of false ego. That's why Prabhupada said, false ego is not real. Because when we see things as, that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the prime quality of a devotee is his humility, is when we think that we are nothing. Servant of the servant. With time and time again we have to remind ourselves what is our situation, what is our position as the minute servant of Krishna. Then we are perfectly situated in spiritual knowledge. There is a saying in Bengali that when a big tree, a huge tall tree, it's always broken down by the winds and storm. But the grass is always there. Grass is not moved. The grass doesn't say, hey, why are you stepping on me? Get off of me. They stay there where the people walking on them and to the wind and the cold, they don't complain. So we have to be in the same level of our attitude. Like they have these classes, Krishna conscious attitude. What is the attitude when we think of ourselves as the eternal servant of Krishna? Then we don't have a problem. Nobody can hassle you. When you think you are just nothing, you're just very humble, you stand Hare Krishna, Krishna will protect you. Nobody can trouble you. As soon as we think I am this, I am that, then there's going to be problems. So liberation means when we can come to this mentality, that when we can think ourselves as the servant of the devotees. There's the great story of Tukaram. You are from India, you know this story. Tukaram, from the north. Tuka means, you're spitting. And sometimes kids, they always keep spitting at others. But here the children are very nice, they're not spitting. If you're always around the devotees, if you spit on devotees, it's a great offense. So, but there are children, they're spitting. So, he was such a great devotee, he was not disturbed by anyone, he was always so observant Krishna. Wherever he went, he was observant Krishna. And and he was not affected by anyone's ego. He was very pure. So he used to go to take bath in the Ganges every day without fail, winter or summer. And the dacoits, the Granga people, they hid themselves. They decided they spit on him after he comes out of the taking his bath. And then when he came out, he's going home after bathing, and they all spit on him. And he just turned around, went back, took his bath, and came back again. They spit on him. Without saying anything, he went back again, took, like this, maybe 10 times. He wasn't disturbed. And he, the gangs of people, they are so moved by his spiritual attitude, his Krishna consciousness, his behavior, that they fell at his feet, asking for forgiveness and become his disciple like this. So humility can overcome, you can impress people by your own Krishna conscious attitude. The people here, they are very observant. Like if you're in the temple or anywhere, as human beings we know, we are affected by modes of nature at the same time. That is natural. If we are not affected by anything, then you are a stone. It's natural to be affected. But if we are affected by a devotee, that your spiritual consciousness rubs onto us. That is a good thing. So if you are Krishna conscious, wherever you are, and you are saying the right thing, your behavior is affecting others' feelings. That's why one of the concepts of yoga is that one is aware. Awareness. They always talk about this, awareness. How can we be aware? We need to be aware of Krishna. Then Krishna says, think of me, become my devotee, worship me. They were aware of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada used to say, a devotee is one who makes others of Krishna conscious. By seeing that devotee, you feel like you want to be Krishna conscious. That's what we are doing. Like when we go to the Crossways or Gopal's or Govinda's or restaurants, different places, you know, they come and see how our food is really good, prasadam, and then the person that's serving are so behaved, are so nice, and people there, the atmosphere itself is very soothing. And I feel very enthused by that. There are so many restaurants. Vegetarian Om, next door, right? I went there one time to check it out. They have the lady who was serving, it's just very like throwing the chapati on the plate and stuff. And next one, there was no love there. It was very... So, there was a lot of egoistic feelings in there. So when they came, I came to Crossways. Our food is not that great. There's no chapati there. There's no, you know, gulab jamun and so many things. Just simple. You know, simple, everyday, similar thing. Just rice and, you know, just few things. There's not a great deal of variety. But people are enjoying like anything. People are packed in there. I'm cooking there, I'm getting a call, oh, we need more sabji, more rice. You know, there's not even enough bucket there. It's all over there. It's so much we're sending there. People are enjoying. People are eating, you know. So, my point is, if we want to create that mentality amongst us, wherever we are, whether a restaurant or in the temple, we have to be free from that ego. Is when we can impress others on, to liberate others when they can see our Krishna conscious attitude and our behavior. If they see us, what makes the place very soothing, if people want to be Krishna conscious, is when they can be impressed by the devotees. When they come here, they say, wow, I want to be here. This is the place I want to be. There's so many places to go to. And I was talking to the friends, Melbourne. What Melbourne? It's nothing really much here. Like, I've been everywhere in the world. Yeah, it's like you go out, it's always the same place. There's not really that many attractions. You know, the Yarra River and a few other. In India, you have the Ganges, so big and so wonderful. And then you go a few other places. There's hardly any you can mention. Some cricket ground and some place like that for us. So when you really come here, you're tired of that. You're sick of that. Those kind of places. When you come to the temple here, you really feel here is a place where people here are liberated. They are Vaishnava, they are devotees. They are demigods. They are better than demigods. According to Bhagavatam, devotees are meant to be better than demigods. We're not in a heaven and having some or us. Or pretty girls there and unlimited enjoyment. That's what the demigods do. Like I said, they may be in the middle of drinking and then their time's up. They have to come down here. We're not having those things. In the morning, while people getting up, they're having a cha, a vidi. We are having hot milk offered to Krishna. In India, they're having a biscuit and tea. They're still doing that. It's an old thing. We get up, come to the program, it's so refreshing and so wonderful to be here in this temple. You have no idea. You're out there, you get up, you up all night, and you hang over, you get up in the morning, you're so fed up, you will feel so bad. And then you come here, and you associate with such a wonderful atmosphere that you're automatically put on the spiritual platform. Just by walking the first steps into the temple from out there. First step you walk in, and you feel, you hear the light, you see the light up at the Prabhupada's room there, and then you hear the devotees. Here you can't hear much, it's all closed. Some other temple you hear, and you smell the incense. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, there are great persons, they become pure devotees just by smelling the incense coming from the temple. When I came to Mayapur, I smelled prasadam coming from the first floor. They're cooking for Radha Madhava. So, I smell palak paneer and alu gobi and all this prasadam they cook. We're familiar with Indian food, we're Indians. And then you eat that in a restaurant, your mother cooks, your wife cooks, and never the same. That taste is so different coming out from the first floor. I can tell even now, I can remember that the smell is unique. It goes into your heart. It's not just your wife cook or your mother cook. It's being cooked for Radha Madhava. So that is transcendental. So when we come to the temple, we are put onto the spiritual platform instantly. That's why Sadhu Sangha is recommended so much. I don't need devotee. I can do it on my own. We do need devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the song that on my own I'm not able to chant Hare Krishna. I need the association of devotees. Together I can chant nicely. So again, spiritual platform is when we can be humble and when we can adhere to the Krishna conscious attitude, Krishna conscious philosophy, knowledge. Knowledge comes by associating. You can study, but realization comes from association. Everything comes from association, actually. You can take prasadam, cook at your home, offer the deity and everything, but it's not the same. When you're here together, even the people will say, let's do it together, let's share it together. That's what comes with joy. Hey, you may have lots of money, then when you give to others and you share with others, so much, much, much more pleasure. Giving is more pleasure than keeping it to yourself. Or giving to, like that's why people give. You feel, oh, I feel so good. Hours later, you'll feel good in your heart. You may be lying on your money. People are poor. Some people, just they say in India, a guy is so filthy rich, he's sleeping on the money. People talk like that. But when you give a little bit, even a few paisa, like here in the temple, people come here, they're throwing down $1, you can hear from the road, ding, they're giving. They know that it goes to Krishna. We make joke out of it, oh, look at that. But it's a good thing. Krishna is not need a $1 million big stack every time you throw in, like Tirupati. They're giving diamonds and rubies, and they have to have guns, people with guns there next to the hundi, because there's so much money there. I went there. But here, Krishna is not in need of so much. He is happy just simple prasadam. Here we are offering very opulent prasadam. At breakfast he is having so many things. But my point is that when a devotee is Krishna can win him over by love, bhakti. So the bhakti comes. It doesn't come easily. Our heart has to be softened. If we are hard-hearted, we will not, and we are selfish, the love will not come. We are selfish and we are hard-hearted, this goes together. We don't want to give. We don't want to do the render service. But we want to hear the philosophy, but we don't want to put ourselves under humility and do some service. If we really love, you have to express your service. Every time I see there's a seminar, there's like rooms packed over there in the theater. But then when we have to do the service, we want to see that you are enthusiastic to do service. When we see God, we may not understand. We see, because the eyes are not perfect, what we see and when we hear is a different thing. When we see things and we understand about that thing by hearing is a different thing. Because when I see you, I may, or the deity, we see, that is the murti of Krishna. But to understand about Krishna, we need to understand through hearing the concept, the knowledge, the philosophy. This is why people study. If you're stuck in a forest, he can't get out. He have map. And he follow the directions. He said the tourists, they always got a map from the when they arrive at the airport, they give you a map. They already have it. They just pick up one. So Krishna consciousness is where we are giving them the guidance. So when we hear about Krishna, and all so many things, the spiritual world, how Krishna is playing the flute, how he looks, and he has so many friends in the spiritual world. He appeared in Vrindavan, and so much to know about Krishna. He is bluish, and he's very attractive. He wears a peacock feather, wears a kastuba gem in your chest, and a necklace of Vajrayantamala, they talk about, and he wears a yellow dhoti. He has lotus eyes, and Kesava, beautiful hair, and Radharani is there, and the gopis, and the cowherd boys, the whole of Vrindavan, the description is there. But when you look at Radha Krishna, you think, when a newcomer, they see this is just a form, there. But they have no understanding. So when you hear Shruti Dhara, we can hear about Krishna, it's more important. Then you understand. But he has to go deep in our heart through service. When your home is dirty, then you just get up and clean the place. You go to the ashram, the rooms maybe. So when you clean the place, it's very like a temple. Your home, your ashram, the place where you live should be just like a temple. Grihastha, they never said, this is my home. This is Krishna's home. This is a temple. Home of a devotee is a temple. If you think you are a devotee, then you have to say, this is everything is Krishna. It belongs to Krishna. That's what it says here. Everything belongs to Krishna. Your body is a temple. Why we put tilak? Because we decorate the body with tilak, with different name of Krishna all around. Back and front and the top of our head. Because Krishna is there in our heart as Paramatma. So the temple is your own body. Respect it as a temple. So a place where you live is all filthy, then you are not Krishna conscious. Cleanliness is godliness. So, consciousness, I was speaking last night at the Urban Yoga the cooking class. Everyone's talking about eating a sattvic food and how the consciousness goes in the food, like this. They're talking about these things. And I told them the food is not always what, it's not what tastes good. It's what's healthy you eat. Of course, in our restaurant, we need to cook very tasty. Otherwise, we won't get the customers. I had an idea of make some, coconut ladu or some dry thing. And they were saying, no, you don't need that. In Melbourne, in Australia, this halva beats everything. Those things are nothing. That's true. People come from miles away to buy a cup of halva. They don't mind paying $5 for it, just one. It's like, I don't think it's just halva. It has unique bhakti in it. The devotees here, they're so used to making it. Their spiritual consciousness is not just the taste. They're tasting spiritual, taste in it. That's so unique. That's what makes it so unique. You know, you go to the Indian restaurant, there's so many Indian restaurants in Melbourne, Asa. There's so many. I came back here after 20 years. I can't believe there's so many Indian restaurants everywhere. Where I live in Clayton, there's like, you walk out, it's like India. Everywhere Indian restaurant. You go in there, the food is not good. If you ask for chapati, they'll give you it's not soft, it's not... But here, like I said, you don't want a chapati. You can have this fried rice, and prasadam, it's just so good. And just come from halva, bus. He said, no, I'm losing weight, I don't want halva. I haven't seen anyone saying that. They're all coming, eating. So, actually, to impress people, people talk about high level of consciousness, spirituality. Don't talk about that. Just take prasadam, chant Hare Krishna. That's all. What is spiritual? You will never understand. The philosophy we talk about over our head, we don't get it. When we take prasad, when you chant Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada said, our movement is where we chant and dance and take spiritual food. That's all. Now that we're having a big seminars and studying so much, and we can have that forever, every time. It's just, another seminar you got, and you attend. But then, if we can sing and dance, take prasadam every time is so joyful. But we need to do it. So, it all starts with, that it's mentioned, it all starts with tongue. I never could understand what do you mean it all starts with the tongue. Means prasadam, vibrating the holy name. What you say, what you eat, that's all. We're not doing much more. Every day we're talking, right? Get up in the morning, you're talking, or you're arguing. Husband, wife, arguing, friend, or whatever, you're getting things done, you're talking. And then you're eating. Early morning you're eating, whole day eating. Some people just eating. So the tongue is chant Hare Krishna, talk about Krishna, take prasadam. Otherwise, keep the tongue inside. There's a yoga mudra. There's a yoga mudra. You know, I do yoga. You have to curl up the tongue. Like, roll it up and bring it to the back. It's not easy. You roll it up and bring it all the way to the back. It's a type of exercise for the tongue. So, when you're not talking, not taking prasadam, just roll it back. Like Prabhupada used to say, in Mayapur, there is the frogs, you know, in the raining season. During the rainy season, there's frogs. They're always the things come out the neck. It's very loud. There's hundreds of them. They're so noisy. I just try to sleep. Now there's less because there's no more trees. It's all buildings there. Before, you have to walk to Gosala, from Gosala where the cow shed is, and to the main temple. It's all rice field, a lot of water, and they all all night. And then the snake comes. Prabhupada gives this example. So the snake, they can't see well, but they can hear it. If you don't hear about Krishna, you hear the sound of death. So the frogs are quack, quack, and then suddenly you hear quack. You don't hear anymore. The snake got him. With the snake, they will follow the sound, where it's coming from, the tracks, and then gets him. So Prabhupada giving some example that if you're not talking about Krishna, if you're not taking spiritual food, we are just inviting the death. That's true. Every time we talk and go blah, 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 you're using up your energy, your breath, your air is gone. And you feel tired. You feel tired afterwards. You feel, your energy is gone. You go, I'm going in the city. Where are you shopping? But they didn't buy anything, just looking around. And their eyes like so tired. They didn't do anything, but they're extremely tired. Because your eyes straining energy. The same when you're talking. So you don't talk about Krishna, you're inviting death. Or you just curl back your tongue. Don't say anything. Yeah. So I try to practice that while I'm here. And I see sometime people just sitting around hours and hours. And I coming back, still they're sitting around hours and hours. I don't know, go a little bit closer, what they're talking about. You find so many things to talk about. If you're not talking about Krishna, you talk about business, money, friend, things you did years ago, you talk about it, you bring it up. So if you talk about Krishna, there's so much. Bhagavatam is these books. Prabhupada wrote, he worked so hard to write these books. So much knowledge here. And you find something to talk about, read books. And you turn on the TV, there's so many. Same thing. After one time, two time, nonsense. But every time you chant Hare Krishna, every time you read, same thing. And you feel refreshing, you feel really good. Because Krishna is there in his name. Krishna is there in his... this is spiritual knowledge. Every time is blissful. Very blissful. These people here, they're coming from miles away to have a cup of halava every time. It's not that every time we're making new halwa, it's the same. Butter, sugar, heaps of sugar. Heaps of butter. Sugar is equal to semolina. I never make it in China because, oh my God, so much sugar. No. I said, don't come in the kitchen while I'm cooking. Because if they see what's going in, they don't want to eat that. But once they eat it, they can't stop it. The taste is so good. So, Krishna consciousness is ever fresh. So, enjoy while we are here. If you are in a heavenly planet, if you are not, you don't think you are liberated. You can just associate devotees, chant Hare Krishna, chant, sing and dance, study. Prabhupada said he followed the four great principles already. That's enough. You can be eligible going back to Godhead. Four principles. You're living here, you don't do those things. You don't smoke, that's easy. Take prasadam. No intoxication, very easy. Here's milk, hot tea every time. So it's wonderful. This is sex. We don't go out. You know, we don't do all those things. And then meat eating. Who wants to look at the meat? Just look at it, the smell makes us sick. You know, in China they have big, they call it wet market, bazaar. Like in India have bazaar. South India they have big bazaar. They're selling big tree, like with curry leaf. You can pick up the curry leaf tree. There's so much curry leaf in the bazaar. In China they have bazaar. One side is meat, one side vegetable. This is all near. Here's not allowed because it's not hygienic. So there they have it. So So when I go to the bazaar to buy vegetable, oh my God, it's the smell, it just makes me throw up. So I stay on the way on the opposite side to get the vegetable. I never go to that side. It's very cheap there. Like $20, you can get a big bag of vegetable, like potato, everything. So I always go there, enjoy. I said, I'll sponsor the feast. And it's easy because it's cheap. Big truck, bring it to the temple. And so, but when you look at this, you know, the meat things, it's intoxication, meat eating is easy to give up for us. Because we have a higher taste. Every time we chant Hare Krishna, it's so wonderful. We want to chant Hare Krishna. I'm running to get to the temple. I'm always stuck in the kitchen or somewhere. I can't get here to lead kirtan. And so it feels great. So we need to observe ourselves. It's mentioning absorption. How we need to observe ourselves in Krishna consciousness. That absorption comes from your own enthusiasm by associating with the devotees. You enthuse me, I enthuse you. That's our spiritual sharing is. So, it's not something we talk about liberation. It's a spiritual platform. It's already here. We are already in the liberated stage. Chanting Hare Krishna once puts on that platform. Devotees are, heavenly plan is nothing for us. That's the mention. We don't even want to go to heaven. We want to be wherever the devotees are. That is because that's what makes a devotee blissful. Anyone. Whether it's temple, whether it's devotee's home or a restaurant, it's like a temple. Janmasthan, karmasthan. Janma is where Krishna appeared, janmasthan. A place, there's activities going on, devotional service, that place is karmasthan, a place of service, devotional service. That's here. And here, we are doing out of love. We are feeling already so happy. I haven't seen anyone in the kitchen, they work so hard, they didn't say, oh, I'm so tired, I can't do it, I'm sick. Everybody's there, they're doing so much, but they feel great. They feel enthused. They feel happy to do it. There's the Mataji here going around sweeping and all the rubbish, cleaning. They're joyfully doing it. It's not there in a hard feeling. Oh God, I don't want to do it today. Once you do it, you feel great. The hardest part is when we don't want to do. The mind gets to us. Very difficult to get up. It's extremely difficult. If you're living somewhere and warm room and you know, you've got nice sleeping area and you just don't want to get up. But once you get up, take a shower and you have dhoti on, you're in the temple, wow. It feels so fantastic. So, what is this? What am I doing? Why am I sleeping? But when you're here, you feel good. Already. So when you are practicing Krishna consciousness or you are already in there, it's all the same for me. You want to hear chanting japa with everyone and you feel so good. I can't wait to do it. I sit here, I look at the clock, half an hour's already gone. I haven't moved my body. Just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I look, wow, 35 minutes. Time flies. Don't think about material situation. Think about spiritually. Because Krishna is in control. It's here. His energy is working through his devotee. He will give you energy. He will inspire you. Krishna in our heart, he gives us the ultimate inspiration. If someone doesn't give, Krishna will give you. Depending on your attitude. If you're Krishna conscious, Krishna will inspire you from within. Directly. Wherever you are. Doesn't matter here in the temple. Temple is the embassy. Here we are boosting. You're going out. And I went out one day and I saw Dija Prabhu distributing books. He was ecstasy. I was like, oh, guy couldn't have time to walk away. I was just talking to him. He was trying to look away. And he was just onto him. He didn't give him a chance to look away even. till he took a book. That's expert. Wait, so because Krishna consciousness can give us that enthusiasm, Krishna will control. Krishna is the controller. So if we want to, we pray to Krishna, Jai Hare Krishna, enthusiastically, and really take shelter to Krishna nicely, then Krishna will, from within, give us that enthusiasm that we could raise ourselves completely in the spiritual platform, wherever we are. Hare Krishna. Any questions? I usually stop early, but I saw everybody else is going up to 9 o'clock, so I thought, oh, I said, me too. No questions? I must be saying everything correctly. Because that's like when someone else, or Banu Maharaj or someone, like hands going off everywhere. Okay. We have, if we have time, we do yoga if anybody, but I have to cook the rajbhog. If you don't, then it's okay. That's all right. No questions? Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.